Good morning, 8:11 here on the Mighty 690 as we go throughout a Thursday morning, a very busy Thursday morning here in the Four States. And we do have some more guests in studio as we continue on here. We're going to start things off with Chris Mitchell, who is joining us. And we're talking a little bit of the Coffeyville Community Green Zone here. And Chris, you're the president of this organization. So it's good to have you on here this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having us. And yes, I'm the president of the Southeast Kansas Veterans Provider Coalition. And we are the host agency of a traveling memorial that we are so excited about. It's called the Eyes of Freedom. And this will be the first time in the state of Kansas. It's going to be free to the public. And let me repeat that again. It's going to be free to the public. It will begin on the morning of November 8th. It will arrive in Caney probably around 9-ish. They're going to be hooking up at Wark Park because there's going to be quite a procession that's following this 18-wheeler that's wrapped in memorabilia and looking pretty cool too. So there'll be others that are going to be joining that procession in Caney. They're going to travel up 75 all the way through West Main Street. There'll be lots of people out with flags welcoming this fantastic Eyes of Freedom to Independence, Kansas. It'll be held at Memorial Hall, and there will be following a opening ceremony at 6 p.m. And then after the ceremony, people will be able to start viewing this wonderful memorial. It will be here through the 11th, 9 to 7 each day. Saturday, the 11th, it will end at 4 p.m. And we're just really excited about having it. And anybody that's having any questions, you can actually call me on my personal cell. It's 620-779-3717. Don't want anybody to miss this. We've been talking to the schools. We'll be doing a lot of field trips, bringing the children in to view this. It's just a fantastic time. And if you miss it, you're probably going to have to travel far away to another state to see it. So we're really excited.
I think it's also important to note that the call is pretty wide open right now for people who want to assist in that escort from Caney up to Independence. We're looking at cars, trucks, motorcycles, people that want to fly flags from their vehicles and stuff. They're looking at cars and trucks being at the rear of the procession and motorcycles being at the front, and they'd like to see a large honor escort. I know some of the area motorcycle clubs are ponying up some people for that. So if you are interested in joining this memorial at the very first time it's ever in Kansas, you could be welcome to be at that 4th Street Park in Caney at 9 o'clock. Kickstands up would be at 9:30, and then flagging would happen up around where the John Deere factory is on the corner of Highways 75 and 160 shortly afterwards.
No, it's going to be great, and I know Lisa Wilson's going to be talking a little bit more about this too, as to remind us again next Tuesday. So what a fantastic event, and the fact that, you know, they're actually going to be here on Veterans Day, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Honestly, I thought when we were requesting it at that time, I thought it was going to be followed by a lot of laughter, and instead they said, sure, we can book that. I thought, what was the chances? So it's really fantastic to have it during Veterans Day and Veterans Week.
Well, that's great, Chris. I really appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And, of course, Lauren Osborne here in studio. And I know you guys have even more that you want to talk about here relating to veterans.
That's right. We have an event that we have put on five times prior to this. It started pretty simply as a college training that was developed by Dr. Alan Parsons in his role as a veteran student success coordinator over at Independence Community College. And it's mainly a partnership and cultural competence training that gets people invested in the idea of working with veterans, not as a separate population, but as partners. And because it was so school-centric, it really didn't have a lot of ties into the community, but more just agency-style providers. And he and I got the idea that this was something that could be of great benefit to a community.
Yeah. And that whole, you know, idea of this, you know, community green zone training, and if you will, you know, what does that actually mean? What does that entail when we talk about something like this?
Well, let's start with just the concept of a green zone. A green zone, which people may have heard of, and they may have, of course, watched a couple of movies and stuff, but a green zone is a place of relative safety and security in the middle of a combat, which allows parts of the stakeholders from all sides to be able to meet in relative security to discuss the terms and conditions they need to see happen in order to de-escalate the violent conflict that's currently occurring. And that really segues into the way that the mindset works for returning deployers especially, but returning military members, they've got separate skill sets and different types of understanding, even things different about the way they approach normal everyday circumstances. And oftentimes you'll find them self-isolating because they don't have either they don't have or they don't manage the skills to integrate with people who have a different mindset than themselves.
Well, and sure, you know, we've had, you know, people who have come from, you know, overseas from combat situations, and, you know, the World War II generation, they didn't talk about it. You know, they had the idea of shell shocked, and that was basically all they called all of it back then. And, you know, you just had to hold it inside here and, you know, not, it was kind of taboo. But I think, you know, we've had some changes here. And I think what this sounds like a little bit is, you know, educating some of us civilians out here. It's really hard, I think, to communicate, you know, what those people are dealing with, you know, what some of our veterans are dealing with. But to have that conversation, that sounds a little bit like what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And then once you have those conversations, there's always the element of implementation. I'm sure in his line of work, the president of our coalition is also president of several other coalitions, and working with veterans and homeless, implementing the use of resources after you have access to them is often a whole separate step in and of itself. Some of it's based on the fact that people aren't aware of the resources that are available or how to access them. Others is that people, they require a guide to get through them because they only know so much and they can trip themselves up quickly. And then some of them, it's a pride issue. I'll be frank about that. And they feel like reaching out for help undermines the strength of service and sacrifice that they had prior to that point. And they have to basically be re-educated to understand that people want to offer that help. They're not asking an unwilling person.
Sure. Well, I mean, this sounds like it would be really good, you know, especially for civilians to come in and understand. You mentioned here military culture and kind of maybe introducing a little bit of that mindset to people who may have no experience with this.
Certainly. part of that also falls into the fact that even though the cultural understanding through strengths and challenges may be different or it may proceed at a different pace, that the civilians, they oftentimes have a event or growth period in their life that roughly correlates, and it's the ability to line those two up with one another and see the similarities that help put them in somebody else's shoes. A lot of veterans get really, really testy or at least sarcastic when you talk about, oh, I know where you've been. Tom Cruise is a great example. Oh, yeah, I basically study how to be a soldier, so I might as well have been one. And that's frustrating to people who have lived the life. But the determination to become culturally competent so that you can be a better partner to veterans, that rings a whole different bell. That makes veterans feel invested. There was a study a couple of years back done by, it was a co-located study between the VA and Blue Star Mothers that showed in communities where there was a strong mental health backbone and a access to resources and communities that were engaged with their veterans, there was a 1.3% decrease in the suicidality rate. But when you went to communities that had less of that backbone and less investment from the community, less employment support, et cetera, you saw an 11.8% increase in suicidality. So we're talking about a 13% difference just by getting the community and its leaders and its law enforcement, first responders, culturally competent enough to invest.
We're talking with Lauren Osborne and Chris Mitchell here this morning about the upcoming Coffeyville Community Green Zone training. And if someone's going to attend one of these events here, what are kind of some of the nuts and bolts things that you go over?
Okay, so every military competence training is going to have terms that you may encounter, questions not to ask, and things like that. But this one differs in that it gives you baselines for questions you can ask, conversation starters, ways that you can show support without having to dig down to the bottom of a pocket or invest time that you don't have. Simple things. It also covers strengths and challenges of transitioning back home from a deployment phase all the way up to transitioning back home permanently. And then we have, over the last five iterations, gathered people who have found, as we hoped they would, connection with the material in their own roles, and they have asked to be a part. Michael Fiveson from Kansas Department of Commerce represents the veterans in Southeast Kansas Works, and he's out of Pittsburgh, but he works the whole Southeast Kansas area, and he is a co-presenter with the Community Green Zone talking about veteran-specific employment opportunities and ways you can reutilize veteran skill sets in non-veteran settings. We also have Jeremy and Dana Thompson from Team Rubicon, who are putting together a group in our area of volunteer disaster responders and civic servants that will help out on service projects, improve outcomes and lives around here, and then provide other people with a little bit of our Southeast Kansas know-how and work ethic when it comes to recovering from hurricanes, tornadoes, and natural disasters. We have a local insurance provider that can talk to the changes in the insurance paradigm that are occurring for veterans who are converting into TRICARE for Life or TRICARE Retired Select, and then might be picking up Medicare and a different costing pattern than people who haven't served. And the list just goes on. We were able to award a currently serving active reservist with the Military Outstanding Volunteer Service Medal last month because she has taught our core values and Women in Service module and done a phenomenal job at that and brings a great amount of expertise to the table. And that group of people really, really links together with the representative from the VA that comes out and stuff, and it puts together a comprehensive package for people who may not have ever been experienced to anything more than movies or television or their grandfather on their mom's side and the service that they've done.
So yeah, it sounds like this is can really be designed for a wide group of people. Is there any specific, you know, group that this really is geared towards?
To be honest, it's geared towards people who can see themselves as a stakeholder in partnerships with military veterans. So who do you see first encountering a veteran if they're in a time of crisis? You're going to think your law enforcement officers, because they help out in mental health crises, they help out in confrontations, altercations, etc. Your firefighters, your military former military veterans that work in ambulance or EMS that would be able to encounter a veteran who was in a time of crisis and try to de-escalate that and then provide medical care. So first responders, definitely. Civic leaders. Louis Yasusi, the mayor of Independence, is on our board, and he is there because he is capable not only of working from a city-minded idea, but as an individual who has become interested in and educated about the tiny villages in Johnson County and worked with Julian Wood from Crawford County to put together an agreement to start building small, limited, tiny villages from Independence all the way to Pittsburgh that create small communities for veterans.
Well, sure. I mean, that's one of the, you know, things you kind of hinted on. We hear a lot about how, you know, folks, you know, when they're serving, they have a very tight-knit group. And then once they're out there, you know, if they don't have a group to get plugged into right away, it can be a challenge. So, you know, building some of those communities, I think, is a really, really neat idea.
Yeah. And we're not talking about creating an insular community where people can revisit the idea of self-isolation or sacrifice. We're talking about the idea of a community where the resources that they need are close to hand, even if they don't have transportation, and it gives them a safe space, a green zone, mm-hmm. from which they can encounter their community and then reinvest. See, we're not talking about the normal state of minority populations, be they occupational or otherwise, is viewed as give me, give me, give me. And what we're looking toward is the idea of a partnership. You give me and I can reinvest in you. And between veterans drawing retirements, disabilities, or pensions, reinvesting those dollars back in their community, or between them getting out and investing their back and their hands in community work projects that improve the appearance and therefore the street value of a town, all of those things can be inherent in that green zone.
Well, that's great. So if people are interested in, you know, maybe attending this or learning more, so when is this upcoming training and how can we get signed up for it?
Okay, so the upcoming one, the fifth Green Zone, is going to be held at Walter Johnson Park in the Ron Stevenson Building on November 17th, starting at 11 o'clock. And there are flyers attached to telephone poles and other surfaces down 11th and 8th Street and also around the walking oval in the park. Many of the area businesses have been given a flyer and have posted it either in their window or have it sitting on their counter. Thompson Brothers, both of the electric supply stores, many of the auto parts stores. One of our co-sponsors is the Sherwin-Williams Paint business downtown. Miss Heather, the manager down there, has been kind enough to furnish us with some door prizes, and she has flyers of ours all over inside her store. And there's a QR code on there, and that QR code relates back to a event website hosted on EventZilla that has the registration link there, but it also has some really cool stuff. A lot of the things that we've been talking about this morning, how does this program work, what is a green zone, who are the people speaking, etc., those are all available on there. And the registration link, which will RSVP you for some nice and tasty food, that also is free.
Hey, you can't beat that. So again, yeah, we've got the flyer right here at the radio station, so we'll put it in the window for everyone. And, you know, again, Friday, November 17th to 11 to 4:45. Sounds like a great event. So, Lauren, Chris, anything else that you want to share with the listeners here while you got their attention this morning?
I would say just don't miss your opportunities to see the Eyes of Freedom.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. That's going to be a really, really unique event, and I definitely can't wait for that.
Well, and then also back in the Community Green Zone, I wanted to highlight another feature that we hadn't had an opportunity to talk about.
Sure, absolutely.
One of the things that that makes this unique is that we're not just presenting information to a public. One of the key elements is the site visits that we go on prior to a green zone, and we have a long schedule. We're all the way into 2025 scheduling green zone trainings now.
Wow.
And we do site visits, two of them, when we first get started in a community to do a green zone, and we identify sponsors that are going to assist with the food, with the venue, with door prizes, with publication costs so that we can keep those low, and with advertising. And as a sponsor, each sponsor gets 5 to 7 minutes at the beginning of the program to introduce themselves and what they do in the community so that the veterans can see them out there wanting to be Green Zone advocates. And that makes that tie. That shows them that not only here's how you can access things for my business, but my business is invested in you. And that's kind of unique because most people, they'll put their sponsors on their flyer like we have, but that's the sum total of it. They'll get what they want from the sponsor. They'll put a logo on and that's it. We want to highlight these businesses that have invested that effort and show the veterans that, hey, these businesses are not only veteran friendly, but they're here to invest in you and you can invest back in them. And the other thing that I wanted to point out was that our entire program is wrapped around the idea that communities don't just have to be a loose association of businesses and chambers of commerce and main streets and stuff like that. They can be an integrated network of partners that can better outcomes, not just for veterans, but for themselves and everyone else. One of the key concepts illustrated in the Community Green Zone is that after you finish that training, your first line of networking and resource access is yourself and the people that you meet, encounter, and develop networking ties to. So this is more than just how to get along with your neighborhood veteran, the care and feeding of your backyard veteran. This is also the care and feeding of a vibrant and partnered community. And it's showing that in the places where we've offered it. Iola, Pittsburgh, the early trainings in Independence, those are all showing a great amount of the working system functioning. And it's spreading. We've had requests from Johnson County, where the Veterans Court is. We've had requests from the Department of the National Guard for Kansas. We've had requests from Ark City, Parsons, Fort Scott, and they're all on the schedule to continue going forward and have green zones in their area too. So reinvestment includes identifying who can be reinvested in, and we really appreciate those people who have offered to sponsor with us. We got the Hitching Post and Sunflower Cafe are partnering to provide us with an excellent catered lunch for the event, and with Maple Street Meats supporting that, of course. We've got Sherwin-Williams that offered up some door prizes, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, and the city is offering use of the venue for free. And Big Brothers and Big Sisters of America is offering backs for the labor to set up all the tables and everything else. And Four County Mental Health is offering some of the tech, the projector, the publication costs, and so on. So it's a community effort.
It really is great to see come together. And, you know, we appreciate you guys to, you know, putting this on. And if people do want to learn more about the Southeast Kansas Veterans Providers Coalition and get a hold of you guys, what's the best way to do that?
Chris?
They can call the Community Access Center at 620-331-5115. And again, I'm just going to throw my personal cell out there again. They can also reach out to me, 620-779-3717.
Yep, and they can reach us also by email at sekveteranpc@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, Lauren and Chris, really appreciate you coming on. If there's anything we can do for you in the future, you just say the word.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Hey, we appreciate it. We got Denise York from Coffeeville's Reawakening up next, and then we'll be getting into Open Line here on the Mighty 690, 38 degrees right now in Coffeeville.